Right, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So there are certain things in life that don't come late. If, Tekiah Shofar starts, everybody's quiet in shul. You know, they blew the first round already. Don't be the guy that opens up the door, mm-hmm. starts creaking, everybody turns around and sees that you came late. It's not, you don't want to miss the Tekiah Shofar, you don't want to have to go and run the whole thing back again later. And Kriyas Megillah, same thing. Don't show up late. You have a whole year to plan for this. Let's go. You know, like, just get there on time. Anyways, a famous Maisa happened in Yerushalayim where someone came in to Kriyas Megillah immediately after the brachas. So like the Amen of Shachiyah, after Shachiyanu was finishing echoing through the room. And this guy walks in. And start. So this person, even though he, maybe his executive function was a little off, but he was a lamdin. So he said, I'm not sure what to do right now. On the one hand, I'm here in shul with a big tzibur, so I'm going to have the opportunity to hear Kriyas Megillah b'Rovam Hadras Melech with lots of people. Valdi. On the other hand, I missed the brachas. So he made it tonight. And he said, let's see, if the brachas are adif, if it's better for me to have Kriyas Megillah with the brachas, I'm having in mind to not be yotze right now. I'm not going to be yotze with this kriya. And then later, I'll make the brachas and read the Megillah. If, on the other hand, it's better to have Bervam Hadras Melech, it's better to have it with the whole tzibur, so then I want to be yotze now, even though I missed the brachas. After Megillah leaning, he went to, the way the story is brought down, he went to Goin Echad, one Goin, and legend has it that he went to Rav Yashiv. And Rav Yashiv told him that the way he formulated his Tanai, it came out that he had to lean the Megillah again without a bracha. Because the way he formulated it, he basically, usually when we make a Tanai, we say, listen, I just want to be yotze, so like whatever. So either like this or like that, whatever's better, that's what I want to do. So it was like, you're not sure what the Zman Kriya Shema is, I'm going to say it now, I'm going to say it later, one of them should work, but you just make sure to cover your bases. The way he formulated his Tanai, he made it that he was not yotze because, said Rav Yashiv, this is a suffik hashakel. It's an even suffik. Whether the brachas is adif, whether it's better to have Megillah with the brachas, or whether it's better to have the Megillah b'roiv am, whether it's better to have the Megillah with everybody all together, with the in shul, with the tzibur. And therefore, he told him, you have to read it again. You can't make the brachas because maybe you were already yotze. So to make the brachas, that would be bracha levatala. So you have to read it again, but without the brachas. What do you mean? But the way he made his tonight, he made it that if it's not clear that this is the best way to do it, I'm not yotze. So therefore, he wasn't yotze because of the way he formulated it tonight. So first of all, halacha l'maisa, don't let this happen to you guys. But if it happens, what does one do? Is the truth is that what you do is you stand there and the Baal Kari is going Vahibi Me'achashverosh and he's taken off like that. And you make the brachas yourself. And then you start reading from a chumash until you catch up to the Baal Kari. Because we have that option when it comes to Kriyas and Megillah to, if you miss a word, if you're not sure if you heard something, and even over here, if you're doing something bedafka different than what the Baal Kari is doing, is you have the option of reading from a chumash Archatzi ha Megillah v'seyas, just up until half the Megillah, that's all you got. But you can actually read from a chumash. So the correct move to make in this situation is to make the brachas yourself, catch up in a chumash until you're up to where he's up to, and then let him take over and keep cruising with him. That's the halacha l'maisa of it. But he didn't do that. But what I want to focus on is a different question. Which is, so according to Goin Echad, according to what is allegedly Rav Yashiv, there is a suffix whether or not it's better to hear the Megillah with the brachos, or whether it's better to hear the Megillah with the tzibur. When Chazal establish halachos, when Chazal establish mitzvahs, and they formulate brachos as part of the mitzvah, the brachos become part and parcel of how we do things. Now we know that if you miss the bracha, if you didn't say the bracha, it's not ma'akev. You don't go and redo a mitzvah. If you picked up your lulav and asrug without making a bracha and you yotzei the mitzvah, so you can't, there's no backsies, you yotzei the mitzvah ready, and the bracha is not ma'akev. It's not something that's absolutely necessary. But it's a built-in part of what the mitzvah is all about. Brevam hadras melech, doing something with a tzibur, doing something with a bigger group, it's nice. It's a good thing to do. It's a hiddur in a mitzvah. It's something that makes a mitzvah, you know, it's better if you do it, like with a lot of people, then there's something more mechubad about it. But how does that stack up to the concept of having brachos? Why is this even a suffix? What is it about Berovam Hadras Melech in this case? We don't, in other contexts, say that, like, you know something, you know, at Seder night, you know, maybe you should go and have like a humongous group Seder so that you can say Alachiles Matzah with the Tzibur and you can eat matzah with lots of other people. I don't do that. But over here, there is a concept of Berovam Hadras Melech. There's a concept of having this big Tzibur be where you're being yotzei to the mitzvah, to the point where maybe that's as important and as intrinsic in the mitzvah as the brachos. Why would that? Why is that the way to look at it? So let's start with the Gemara Megillah, that first Gemara that we saw. Gemara tells us that we learn from Drasha, Mishpacha, Mishpacha, that if you have Kohanim ba'avodasim, Levim, and Levim in the Duchen, so they are mevatel avoda, they stop the avoda in order to lay in the Megillah. And mikan samchu shel beis rabbi, and over here we have the beis rabbi that based on this they were samach on the idea on this idea shemevatlin talmud torah, that you, one is mevatel talmud torah uvon lishmor mikra megillah, and then you come and you listen to mikra megillah. So and Rava says on Gimel Amud Beis, you don't have that, your Amud Beis is something else, but on in Gimel Amud Beis in a real Gemara, it says that Rava said that based on this that's what we do. We're mevatel talmud torah to hear mikra megillah. So, interesting question. You're mevatel talmud torah to hear mikra megillah. Megillah is not Torah? Isn't Megillah part of Tanakh? Mevatel talmud torah lomo torah? Is that something that we say? I mean, what does it mean, mevatlin talmud torah, lishmor mikra megillah? Mikra megillah is Torah. So what is this concept that we're talking about over here, that there's some sort of bittul Torah that is called for so that we can go and do something that is Torah? Well, like, what's going on here? Many, many, many Achronim ask this question. There's a lot of very fascinating answers that are given. One of the Rishash says a very interesting concept. He says that there's a concept of bittul Torah be'echos, that there's a concept of being mevatel Torah qualitatively. So if a person is able to be learning Gemara, if a person has the capacity to be Isaac and Torah in a way where they're not just like sitting back, listening, waiting for Haman, and passively kind of hearing words of Torah. But if a person is actually like involved in learning, and they're mevatel that involvement in learning in order to just passively hear Torah, that's considered an act of bittul Torah. That's the Rashash's answer to this question of where's the bittul Torah Shavah. But we have a different idea, and it's based on Tosis and the Ritva that we saw, which is that when it says Mevatlan Talmud Torah, Uvon likros in Megillah, it means, says the Ritva, Pirish kidei likrosa betzibor, in order to do the kriya betzibor, that when we're talking about bittul Torah, we're not talking about the actual reading of the Megillah. The reading of the Megillah, of course, is Talmud Torah. That's part of, yes, it's Torah. It is Torah. That's Limud HaTorah. It's hearing Torah. It's being involved in Torah. Listening to the story is Torah. That's Torah. But you got to get up. You got to schlep over to the shul. Inevitably, there's some kind of waiting that's going on. Somebody's going to make an announcement about something. There's all kinds of stuff going on. That's Bittul Torah. What is it that allows us to do this? We have a halacha. Mevatlan Talmud Torah lishmoya mikra Megillah or likros haMegillah, and it's interesting. Like even the way Tosis over here, the way he brings us to this idea that there is mikra, that there's this kriya betzibor that is important. He asks the question. He says when it talks about mevatlan kardim meavodason that there's a bittul of the avodah. As Tosfos, what are you talking about? There's plenty of time during the day to do the Megillah. There's plenty of time during the day to have the Avodah. What's the problem? He says the problem is like this, that when they're going to go and do the Avodah, when should that be? That should be first thing in the morning. That's prime time for Avodah is as soon as the sun rises, that's when everything gets cracking. That's when things start moving in the Beis HaMikdash. That's how it's supposed to be done. So Avodah is supposed to be done at that time. But we tell everybody, we tell the Kohanim and the Levim, pump the brakes. It's time to go to Shul to hear the Megillah. Why? How about do the Avodah and then go read the Megillah later? No. Because then they're missing the Kriya Betzibor. And in missing the Kriya Betzibor, they are going to have less Pirsumei Nisa. So Pirsumei Nisa is the driving force behind this concept. That we are mevatel Talmud Torah. Why are we mevatel Talmud Torah? We're mevatel Talmud Torah in order to have kriya betzibor. The way the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishneh Brura, the way they formulate this is that afilu that even if you have a bunch of people who are sitting and learning together, they are going to get up and go to the shul. Afilu. Even if you have a tremendous chabur of 100 people who are learning in some house, you still have to go and have kriyas haMegillah betzibor. So you see that there is this tremendous adifus. There's a diuk in the Gemara, by the way, that it's about the going, because it says, the way it says is uvoin lishmoa mikra Megillah. Shemavatan Tamatara uvoin lishmoa, and they come, and they so there's a going to hear Mikra Megillah. It's not just stam that we close the Gemara, open up the Megillah. That's a problem. That's not a problem. That's not Bittul Torah. The Bittul Torah is that you close your Gemara, you get up, you walk across the street, you go somewhere else in order to hear the Mikra Megillah. That is what is called for, and that is this halacha of Mevatan Tamatara. In order to hear Mikra Megillah, the Ran even says that if one has opportunity to daven in one tzibur that's smaller, and there's a different tzibur that's bigger, you should drop the small tzibur, go to the bigger tzibur. We don't paskin that way. If somebody has a minyan kavua, if they have a place that they normally daven in, that is a set place for davening on a regular basis, that's where one davens. It doesn't matter what the numbers are. You don't have to take attendance. But at the same time, what we are doing is we are Mevatel Torah, and there's this importance of Mikra Megillah Betzibur, so that we have Berovam Hadras Melech, so that we have this inyan of Pirsumei Nisa. And we see this more in the other Gemaras that we saw. The Gemara on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says that if somebody doesn't understand Lashon HaKodesh, so what do they do? So first of all, they can hear it in Lashon HaKodesh, and they're Yotze anyway. So it says, they don't know what's V'halo Yoda Maika Amri, but they don't know what's being said. So, okay, so it says it's like, Mide Have Anashim V'Ame Ha'aretz. It's just like, you know, regular, the women, Ame Ha'aretz, they also don't know what's going on, and they're Yotze. Ravina says, listen, we don't even know what Achashtaronim B'nei HaRamacha means. Like we don't even know what that's talking about. And the truth is that, like, there are, in the Rishonim, there are different pshatim as to what it means. Does it mean fast horses? Does it fast mules? Does it mean speedy camels? There are different Rishonim that have different pshatim as to what those words mean. So he says, Ela mitzvahs kriya upersume nisa. We're going for the kriya with persume nisa. So therefore, persume nisa, that's kind of like the thing that we're after. What's the persume nisa? Says Rashi. Afal pish in yodin masha shaman. So you have some guy sitting there, he doesn't know what a word of, word of Lashon HaKodesh, he doesn't know what's being said. Sholin es hashoman. He asked the guys who are listening, v'omrin mahi hakriya, and they say what's going on. V'eichaya hanes, and how the nes is going, umadin lehem. Can you imagine that happening at the kriyas that we go to? That in the middle, somebody like turns to someone and says, hey, what's going on? Like, you know, like people are very, I once davened in, one of these shuls, very Yakish shul in Washington Heights. There was, I said, like, they said the word Haman, and I didn't even do it on purpose. I kind of like put my Megillah down. It was like this loud. And shh, like, you know, from around me, like, no noise. Nobody wants any noise during the Mikra Megillah. But the Rashi is describing that what's the Pursuma Nisa? The Pursuma Nisa is that everybody's going to start like schmoozing, like, yeah, hey, what's going on? Hey, what's going on in the story over here? Oh my gosh, you don't know? It's crazy. I mean, couldn't sleep, and then this happened, and that happened. And really? That's, you know, it's wild. And all that's going on during Mikra Megillah, and that's where the Pursuma Nisa is going to come out. So again, the inyan is that there be this Pursuma Nisa, that there be this everybody understanding what the nace is, and that is the whole direction of what we're looking for over here. And again, on Daf Hey, the Gemara says, Amarav, Megillo Bismana Koronosa Afilu Biyachid, that Bisman, meaning if the laning is taking place on Yudalid, we read it Afilu Biyachid, Shalo Bismana, but if it's Shaloi Bismana, meaning the small villages that were Maktim Liyom HaKnisa, so the small villages that didn't have a Balkari, so they would come into the big city and then they would get somebody to read it on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. They have to do it with a minyan. Why? And then Rav Asi Yomer, Bein Bismana, Bein Shelo Bismana, Ba'asara, it should be Ba'asara, Havi Uvda V'choshle Rav L'Hodra Rav Asi, and Rav was choshish for that, which Rav Asi says. So Rashi tells us, this machlokus of, does it have to be with a minyan or not with a minyan? It's not a machlokus about whether you need Pursuma Nisa. Look at what Rashi says. Bismanam biyadalid on the 14th, mitochshi choyva boy bayom, since that's the day where there's a chiyuv, al kol yachid viyachid on every individual, koronosa afilu biyachid, then you could read it biyachid, dahako koronbo, because everybody's reading it. Even if everybody reads it biyachidus, at least everybody's reading it, the ika pirsum hanes. And then there's pirsum hanes, because everyone is finding out about, hey, what a wild miracle happened on Purim. But shaloi bismana kagon kfarm hamakdin with yom haknisa ain't koronosa ela ba'asara. Why did be in pirsum nisa? Because you need pirsum nisa. So even if you can read it biyachid on zmana, on yudalid, it's not because we don't care about pirsum hanes. It's because there's pirsum hanes anyway. Why? Because if everybody is reading it, so then everybody's getting the same information about the nes, so then we say, okay, there's pirsum hanes, all the Jews who are Torah observant are finding out about the nes, boom, we have pirsum hanisa. On the Yom HaKnisa, so then already we want a tzibur to make sure that everybody who's coming in is getting this information and is finding out, and that's a different way of accomplishing pirsum hanes. But that pirsum hanes is a fundamental need within this mitzvah, that is a given. Also, yeah?
Sorry. Isn't it a chiddush that there's a pursuma nisa on the days that are not horror?
Well, for the people who are doing the Megillah thing, right?
Yeah, right, but it's still chiddush. If I light Hanukkah candles a week before Hanukkah, it's not pursuma nisa.
Right. And it's not an accomplishment of the mitzvah either.
Right.
So if I can restate your question as more of a statement, it must be that whatever this mitzvah is, which we're allowing these other people to accomplish at this time, somehow that mitzvah and pirsum hanes, those two things have to come together. And if they're not, we're kind of lacking something. And Okay, just to point out, the Tosis over here on Daf Hey also makes a point of that. He says, you know, you should know that if somebody's reading it, b'yachidus, if somebody's reading the Megillah by themselves, you should know you can make a bracha. You can make a bracha. What's the havamina to not make a bracha? Unless the real way to be mekayim this mitzvah is with a tzibur. The real way to be mekayim this mitzvah is with persumei nisa. So yes, although we end up paskening that you can get away with doing it b'yachidus, Tosfos even had a havamina that maybe it's, you know, no bracha. It's not really a fulfillment of the way the din was shteldevek, the way it was really set up, and therefore maybe there would be no bracha. Kamash malon, Tosfos needs to tell us that, by the way, you get a bracha here, that even somebody who's doing it b'yachid can get a bracha. What we see from here, and what we see from all of these Gemaras, putting them together, is that the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah is not just a regular laning, I need to read this information and have this, or have some sort of technical Kriyas HaTorah take place on Purim. But that the mitzvah is a mitzvah to be mefarsem the nes through the reading of the Megillah. The Briska Rav takes this a step further in the way he formulates this concept, and he says that all other Kriyas HaTorah and Kriyas HaNeviim are Kriyas of Limud HaTorah that take place at various times that Chazal determined. So on Shabbos, on Monday and Thursday, we have a Kriya of Limud HaTorah. On Shabbos, Tanis, Yom Tov, we have Nevi'im that are supposed to be read B'tzibur as a Kriya of Limud HaTorah that take place B'tzibur. The Kriya of Megillas Esther is a Kriya, not of Limud HaTorah, but it's a Kriya of Pirsum HaNes, to the point where maybe it could be said that the reason that you could perhaps call this Bittul Torah is because, meaning, why is it called Mevatlan Talmud Torah Lishmar Mikra Megillah? Is because it's not being read as I'm learning Torah or I'm listening to Torah right now. It's being read as I'm being Mefarsim Anes right now. How do I do it? I happen to be reading the Megillah. But we see on Daf Yud Ches that, how does that work? Well, you know, it could be that some guy is just sitting around listening and then says, like, what is going on? That's what's going on? Whoa, that's Anes. And that alone, that would be the Pirsum Hanes that's taking place, and that would be the way he would be Yotze the Kriya. Because the Kriya is a Kriya to create Pirsumei Nisa. The Rambam tells us, says, he talks about Kriyas HaMegillah Bizmanas, Mitzvah Saseh, and then he gets into this concept, Kohanim Bavodasa, Mevatlan Avodasa, Van Lishmar Mikra Megillah. V'chein mevatlin Talmud Torah l'shmar mikra Megillah, and we're also mevatl Talmud Torah kal v'chomer l'shar mitzvah shel Torah. This is not what the Gemara said. The Rambam says, we are mevatl Talmud Torah l'shmar mikra Megillah, that we're mevatl Torah to listen to mikra Megillah, and kal v'chomer l'shar mitzvah shel Torah, that we must be mevatl other mitzvahs of the Torah in order to be in a shekula nidchin b'pnei mikra Megillah, that they're all nidchis because of Mikra Megillah. Frek de Briska Rav has a kasha. He says, I don't get it. When was the last time somebody did not participate in a Seder because they were learning Torah? You go, you have matzah. Anybody not shake lulav and esrog because they were busy learning? How about Neres Chanukah? We have a concept that we are always mevatel Torah to do mitzvahs. So Gemara in Ma'id Katan talks about how Torah was given to us, that we are supposed to be lilmod amanas lasos, that we're supposed to learn it so that we can do it. If we just be learning it and not doing it, so then it's missing in the whole concept of what Torah is all about. So we are always mevatel tamat Torah in order to do mitzvahs. So what does it mean over here when it says that, listen, we're mevatel tamat Torah to listen to Mikra Megillah? Kal v'chomer l'shar mitzvah shel Torah. So for sure, all other mitzvahs of the Torah also were mevatel. No, not true. We are mevatel Talmud Torah for all kinds of mitzvahs, and it's not necessarily something that carries over to other mitzvahs. The bittul of Talmud Torah is something that's almost like a given for a mitzvah. So what is the Rambam saying? How is he formulating this kal v'chomer? That's not the kal v'chomer of the Gemara. The kal v'chomer of the Gemara was that if you're mevatel avodah, so then kal v'chomer, you're mevatel Talmud Torah. This is your mevatel Talmud Torah, kal v'chomer, all other mitzvahs you're mevatel. But we're always mevatel Torah in order to accomplish mitzvahs, in order to fulfill the mitzvahs asay that we have. So over here, what's the chiddush? How does this kal v'chomer make any sense? So he explains that what's really going on over here is that it's not the regular, hey, I have a mitzvah and therefore I have to, In order for my Limud HaTorah to make sense, as like my Limud HaTorah is something that leads to Maisa, is something that leads to action, so therefore I have to stop learning in order to do actions. There's something else that's going on here. It's saying that the Mikra Megillah is Adif, is better than, so to say, Limud HaTorah. To the point that we are Mevatalit, not because the regular din of we have to be mevatel Talmud Torah in order to accomplish a mitzvah, but because there's an adifus, the Gemara in Megillah on Daf Gimel Omid Beis says that Rava quotes Rava as saying, Talmud Torah u'mikra Megillah, mikra Megillah adif, that there's an adifus to it. What's the adifus? Why is it better? Better? I mean, we don't like to talk about these things in terms of like what we don't like to rank things. It's not the March Madness are going on over here. But there's a ranking going on over here because it's telling us that there is something about Mikra Megillah in this context that puts it over Limud HaTorah in a way that's different than the way other mitzvahs we do instead of learning. And it's because it has this special condition that's part and parcel. It's part of the gezeira of Mikra Megillah, which is that there be Pirsumei Nisa. And that the concept of Pirsumei Nisa, the idea that in this mitzvah, we're not only saying words of Torah in order to accomplish a mitzvah, but we are trying to bring out a nes. We are trying to be mefarsim a nes that takes this and puts it into a different league that would even be adif over Limud HaTorah. There are a few other halachas over here in the concept of in the halachas of Mikra Megillah that are seem to be unusual, but we'll see that that makes a lot of sense actually. It says in Simit Tafresh Tzadi, towards the end of the packet over here, in medaktikin b'to'oseha, that we're not medaktik about mistakes that are made in Mikra Megillah. Right? Go tell this to any Bal Kore, he'll tell you that's not true. But in Halacha L'maisa, we still correct the Bal Kore with a lot of passion. But the Halacha is, and it's based on Yerushalmi, that we're not medaktik in mistakes that are made. And what's more is that there's Hagos Maimonios, fascinating. It's also this is second Rambam that's in the packet over here. He says the following: he says Nagu b'Kriyas Megillah, the minug by Kriyas Megillah, shalola hafzik bein pasuk lapasuk, not to break between psukim, ela takeuf l'siyum pasuk zeh maskel ba'osa neshima pasuk shel acharav, but finishing one pasuk, you don't take a breath, you go straight into the next pasuk. Shari Kari Igeres, because it's called a letter, and apparently it's as a letter, it's a different type of kriya, technically, than regular kriya satorah and regular kriya neviim, to the point where we don't pause between psukim. So we have a Yerushalmi that says that we're not medaktik in the toyos, that we're not medaktik about mistakes. We have a Hagos Maimonides that the Mishnah Berurah actually makes a move to say that, like, by the way, take a little breath between. If you see in Mishnah Berurah Nun Beis on page Kuf Nun Vav in Mishnah Berurah, he says, of Hakol Neshima Achas Uvechol HaMegillah Bein Pasuk LePasuk Yafsik Rak Kedei Neshima. You should stop just a breath worth. And he's coming to say that even though there's this Agos Maimonides that says don't, you should, because we don't pass in that way. The Agos Maimonides himself, if you keep reading, brings a machlokas about it. But what's going on over here? Why is it that we wouldn't be medaktik in the toast, in the mistakes that are made in the Megillah? Why is it that there's a havamina to not take breaths between psukim? So the answer is that the concept of, over here, we're very familiar with this pasuk of here in YGW, the idea of being careful about the kriya of something. It says, "Vayikru b'sefer Torah Hashem meforish v'sam seichel," right? Eshel Publications. You know, I don't know what the price is exactly, but okay, it's available. V'yavinu b'mikra, v'yikru b'sefer Torah Elokim. What do we learn from there? So this is also, this happens to be on Megillah Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. We learn from there that you have to be medaktik in kriyas haTorah. You have to be mafsik between psukim. You have to be careful about the ta'amim, about the taimim. You have to be careful about the pronunciation of everything in the pasuk. And from there we learn all of the halachas of kriyas haTorah and everything that we're makbid about. Says the Briska Rav, when it comes to laning, when it comes to haftorah, when it comes to kriyas that are kriyas of Torah Elokim, that it's a kriya that's supposed to be a limud haTorah b'tzibur, a limud haTorah, a kriya of limud haTorah, so then we have all of these rules. When it comes to Mikra Megillah, it's not the same type of laning. It's a laning that is accomplishing Persume Nisa. That type of laning doesn't have the same rules. It's read like an Igeres. It has a different type of... What's the idea of it being an Igeres? The Rosh Hashanah Aruch himself says, it's an Igeres so that, l'haros ha-nes, in order to show people the nes. There's something different over here, intrinsically, about the way they created this mitzvah, that it is a mitzvah of pirsum ha-nes, as opposed to just a mitzvah of limud ha-Torah barabim. The truth is that it is not just, it is not only the Megillah that has this idea of Pirsum Hanes to it. The Rambam, if you go back to the page that has the Rambam, something very fascinating. The Rambam, whenever he starts a set of halachos, he says, if you look, so it says Halachos Megillah Chanukah, like right up at the top. And then right beneath that it says V'yesh b'chlal and shtei mitzvah saseh midivrei sofrim. And there are included in this two mitzvahs saseh midivrei sofrim. V'enim minim midyan, they're not part of minyan ha-mitzvahs. So it happens to be, I one time saw an exhibit of the Cairo Geniza. So the Cairo Geniza had all kinds of, so in the Cairo Geniza, there were manuscripts from the Rambam's initial writings. Different ways, it's very interesting, like there are different Hilchas Chovel Mazik, he called it something else. He had like different editions of his, in his handwriting, of the Mishneh Torah. In, when I was, when they were showing like the different parts of it, this part where it says V'yesh B'chlalon, X, you know, whatever amount of mitzvahs it is, he wrote that. That's in his handwriting. This isn't something that was added by like an editor who's like trying to help you keep track of how many mitzvahs you should be expecting to see as you go on. This is written by the Rambam. Now the Rambam says Hilchas Megillah v'Chanukah yesh b'chlalon shtei mitzvahs aseh. There are two mitzvahs aseh. Question: Chanukah has got one mitzvah. We know that's Megillah. How many mitzvahs are there in Purim? We got four. So shouldn't it say yesh b'chlalon chamish mitzvahs? Five? Why is it only two? What does this mean that there's only one mitzvah? There are different ways that the question is asked. The question is asked also about, like, you know, why are there no brachos on the other mitzvahs? Like, that's the way Achronim, like, will ask this question also. We don't make a bracha on Mishlach Moros. We don't make a bracha on Matanos Avyonim. We don't make a bracha on... What's going on? The Smag, the Sefer Mitzvahs Agadol, who was influenced very strongly by the Rambam. It's fascinating. I was just reading something about him. So his name is Rav Moshe Mikutzi, and he was there when they built, when they burned the 24 cartloads of Gemara after there was a disputation that the Jews won, but you know, Christians are sort of losers. So they went and they took or they gathered all the Gemaras and they burnt them. And then he wrote his Pirushim Baal Peh. He didn't have a Gemara. He was in France at the time. He didn't have Gemaras. And he wrote Tosfos Yeshana Man Yuma, Sefer Mitzvos Agadol. He wrote it without Gemaras, just from his memory. Unbelievable. But what he writes is, he says, the HaMitzvah HaRevius Midivrei Sofrim is Hilchos Megillah. Question. V'had Ach Shevinu, says the Re'im, V'had Ach Shevinu L'kulu Mitzvahs D'mikra Megillah U'mishta V'simcha U'mishloach Manos Yishloyehu U'matanos L'avionim L'mitzvah Achas. So the Smag, the Sefer Mitzvahs HaGadol, in his compilation of mitzvahs, also just counts Purim as one mitzvah called Mikra Megillah. Why does he consider all of these mitzvahs? We have Mishta V'simcha, Mishloach Manos Yishloyehu, Matanos L'avionim, and Mikra Megillah. Why are they all considered one? Mishum Dekulu Mishum Persume Nisa Havu. They're all Persume Nisa. V'tola HaKol V'Megillah Mibnei Shehi Iker HaPirsum. And they're all part of Megillah because that's the Iker Pirsum. That's the main Pirsum. Purim, Mikra Megillah, Mishloach Manos, all of the mitzvahs that we have, that we do on Purim, they are all about Pirsum Hanes. They're all about taking some. Think about what the mitzvah of what Megillas Esther really accomplishes. Megillas Esther takes a story that took place that seemed to be some political intrigue that took place over a decade, spread out over a decade, in which there is, just like there's no mention of Hashem's name in the whole Megillah, there's nothing obvious about anything. There's nothing about it that is miraculous. There's no Kriyas Yamsuf, there's no Makos, there's no miracles, there's nothing wild and crazy that happens. And yet at the same time, the Jewish people were able to experience that, and rather than just look at it as being, hey, this is interesting, oh, thank heaven it worked out for us, they saw it as mamashanes. They were able to see. They were mefarsem the nes. They took something that was not apparent, but they were able to find it, take it out of the current events that were taking place, and they were able to bring it out, and they were mefarsem the nes. That's what the Megillah does. All of the mitzvahs of Purim, the point of all of them is to enable us to, first of all, about what happened back in the time of Purim, for us to see that, and the Yad Hashem and all of it, and enables us to look at how HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, and everything that he did for us back then. But it's also a message for us, that even though we live in a time in which there's nothing super obvious about what goes on in our world, that, hey, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did that, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu did that, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu did that, but it's teaching us how we are supposed to look at our world. We are supposed to be mefarsem nisim. We're supposed to look at the world around us and supposed to say, everything that's going on is a nes. Everything that's going on is the Yad Hashem. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing it. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking to us. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing things towards us and for us. It's the whole essence of Purim is for a person to be able to reach inside of themselves and see that and find that. There's the Nichnas Yayin Yatzah Sod. The wine comes in, the secret comes out. It's looking at the secret of what our world is. It's looking at, frankly, looking inside of yourselves and seeing everything, all of the gifts HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given to you and what you're all about, and the kochos and the abilities that you have and that you could make something out of your life with. It's seeing all of that and putting it together and recognizing that all of that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the day is all about. And so we have a mitzvah of Mishloach Manos, Matanat Avyonim, ways in which we are extending ourselves to others, seeing ourselves as unified, trying to see that we can go and we can give things to others, we can help others, we can have mishta v'simcha. We can have all kinds of joy and enjoyment in this world. Why? Because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's all revolving around the mitzvah of Megillah, which is a mitzvah, not just read a story because, and it happens to be part of the Torah, not just that. It's a mitzvah of be mefarsim this nes. Share this. Share this with yourself. Share this with others. That we collectively as a people are all able to experience and feel this. That's what Purim's all about. That's this single mitzvah. It's a unified mitzvah. It's everything coming together to tell us, be mefarsim what's going on. See it in your world. See it in your lives. And we live at a time right now where we really, the idea that for someone to not see that everything that's going on right now in the world is Meha Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's, that, you know, you got to be blind not to notice that. To see the positive in it, that's something that takes a little work. And Be'ezras Hashem, this is all the setup. You know, when they were going through the Purim story, they also didn't see how the, you know, what the upshot was going to be and how it was going to end. But when it ended, wow, what an amazing time of Simcha, an amazing time of Kabbalah Satara, an amazing time. So for us to jump the gun over here and for us to say that we know that it happened back then. So, hey, it could just as easily happen right now. It could happen 2 minutes from now. It could happen in Purim. Any time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could go, turn the whole thing around. And Be'ezras Hashem, we'll be able to see tremendous Yeshuas, tremendous Nechamas. We'll be able to see so many Nisim, whether they're hidden, whether they're revealed, and recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he himself should be Mefarsim the Nes with the Gilui Kovet Shemayim that comes with Yeshua HaKadosh Baruch Hu.